Next on Gospel of Life, see how theology becomes biography on the streets. I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Our pastoral associate, Reverend Rusty Thomas, joins us today, along with our associate director, Janet Marana. Welcome to you both.
Howdy.
Nice to be here.
Theology becomes biography in the streets. That's a phrase that we've used often out on the streets together with our friend, Reverend Flip Benham. And it's true. God, when he calls his people together, then commissions them to go forth. And we see Jesus sending forth the apostles, and it's been true of Christian history up to our present day. We go out because God calls everybody to hear his word and to become part of the body of Christ.
Yeah. And, you know, I think too often that the secular society today wants the church to keep its message inside those four
Stay
walls.
Stay inside the four walls.
You know,
absolutely.
Keep that in the church, and don't make your theology come out here and affect us here in the culture. But no, Christ is calling us to hear that message, hear it preached solid, but then go forth out into that church and change the world.
Well, again, like you said, Father Frank, this is our historical root system. Jesus Christ himself set the example. Yes. Though he taught in synagogues and read the word of God in the synagogues, and he had times in the temple, but if you look at the majority of his ministry, it was on the streets. He was rubbing shoulders with the sinner and having tremendous impact in the nation of Israel and, of course, eventually beyond. And the Church of Jesus Christ herself, she was birthed in the streets. I mean, the day of Pentecost.
That's right.
I mean, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, and I mean, people came from all around, from every nation, going, what does this mean? What are they talking about? And here we go. Here comes the kingdom of God. Here yeah. comes the Church of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I often point out that on Pentecost morning, you know, Peter and Peter and Matthew and James and John, all of them are there in that upper room. They didn't take out their appointment books and say, okay, guys, you go, Matthew, you go to that side of the room, Peter over here, and wait for the people to knock on the door. It was just the opposite. They went out of that door and into the streets and said, hey, folks, we got good news for you.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the history of the Church of Jesus Christ. In fact, the streets, I remember, Father Frank, I think we were in Arkansas, and you said the streets is our venue.
It's
our venue. And you know what? And if you look at this world and the great changes, any great change for evil or for good was eventually manifested in the streets and in the culture. And we got to get this mentality that, you know, I thank God for buildings, thank God for places that we can go and worship God and commune and have fellowship. But when you look at the emphasis of what God has called his people to do and who we are to be, it is a message of go. And particularly as it relates to the pro-life battle.
That's right. Particularly that. Yes.
Particularly because we're dealing with children that are made in the image of God, and we must also understand this truth. You know, when we go to the streets, when we go to the abortion mills, when we go to the sin centers throughout the United States of America, you know, even though these are dark places, God has privileged us to go to these dark, demonic places where people are being deceived, they are being led astray, they're hurting, they're in a desperate situation. Obviously, when they go to the abortion mill, they are running as far as away that they can from their own conscience, running away from God, running away from their own heart to do the unspeakable. And so where is the Church of Jesus Christ? You know, and when you go out there, and you lift up the name of Jesus and you start declaring the word of God and you go out there and you lift high the praises of God and you get those prayer warriors interceding and you get the praise and worship going and then you get those preacher boys declaring the word of God, I am telling you, the force of God's love, the force of God's truth, the force of His presence come upon these altars of Molech and these altars of Baal. And guess what we see? We see, you know, demonic strongholds come crashing down. We see those who are far from God come near to God. And you know, Father Frank, that's what this is about. It's to say to the world where they live, God's not a God that's far off and unconcerned. He's not in some ivory tower. He is near. He is right here. He's here where you are hurting, where you're being lied and when you're being deceived. He has truth, and that truth will set you free. Don't run from Him. Run to Him. This is the Church of Jesus Christ. Okay, and there is a refuge here.
That's right. Well, you know, Reverend Rusty, we know from the voices of the men and women who made that terrible mistake but came back to the Lord and came back to healing, saying that we wish that somebody was there speaking the truth to us, because we were going for that abortion because we felt trapped or abandoned, desperate. Nobody was there to help us. We felt the only choice we had was abortion. You know, so many of those women, they were taken there by boyfriends or husbands or parents off for that abortion. Not that they were freely choosing it. And had only someone been there to intervene for them. Yeah. And so we know that if Christians are there, lives will be saved. Men and women will be protected from that sin of abortion.
Well, there's several different forms of being there. I mean, when we, one of the things we're talking about here, obviously, is going to the places where the killing is happening, the abortion clinics themselves. And a lot of people ask, well, you know, is it legal to go right up to the door of the abortion clinic? Tell us a little bit about the do's and don'ts.
Well, obviously, the public sidewalk is protected by the First Amendment.
Right.
And, you know, and it's very, very important that we maintain our presence on there, because believe me, there are forces at work that would like to remove that.
That's right.
And censor the gospel message so they can continue to defend the indefensible.
There's people out there who, without apology, will say the public streets or public sidewalks are public except in front of the abortion message.
Absolutely.
They want to do that, but they have not succeeded. They have not succeeded.
But Father Frank, our message is simply this. You know, the church is the church. And what we want to understand, when we go to the abortion house, when we go to the streets, we're simply having a church service. We do the very same things out on the streets that we're doing in these buildings.
Proclaim the word of God, sing the hymns of His praise. That's right. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing, except here, you're engaging. Remember we talked about, I preached that sermon about the Apostle Paul not
shadow boxing? Yes.
In other words, when the church swings, we want to hit something.
That's right.
Okay? And so that's what we have to understand. God has given us weapons of warfare.
Yeah.
They're not carnal. They're not arsonist bombs.
No.
They're not machine guns. They're not knives. We don't mean physical harm to nobody,
right.
But He has given us spiritual weapons to bring down demonic strongholds. It said, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest.
That's right.
To destroy the works of the devil.
So the falsehood that has taken hold of the mind of this young woman who thinks she has to have her child killed, and the falsehood that says it's not really a child, and the falsehood that says that abortion clinic, that Planned Parenthood, they're going to help me. That's what we're tearing down.
Exactly.
We're tearing down those ideas. We're cutting through that fog, and we're reaching out our hands to say, come with us.
To set the captive free.
Well, let's pause there, because we're going to take a little break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about more practical ways that theology becomes biography in the streets. So, friends, please stay with us.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
Now you can make a difference in the lives of the unborn for as little as $12. Make your donation today and we'll send you a copy of the pro-life masterpiece, Earth's Trash, Heaven's Treasure. Vivid imagery and striking colors come together in a painting that captures the essence of eternal hope for the unborn. You'll help change the hearts and lives of people everywhere. Plus, you'll have a treasured piece of artwork that serves as a daily reminder of the beauty of precious living souls. Make your donation today.
Okay, we're back with Reverend Rusty Thomas and Janet Moran. We're having a great discussion about theology becoming biography in the streets. The church needs to go out to the abortion clinics and, in fact, everywhere to proclaim the message of life. Let's continue to talk about how this is done in practical ways.
You know, practically speaking, though, in addition to intervening for the men and women who are going inside to destroy their child, being out there on the street affects the very people who are working inside that abortion clinic, starting from the security guard who sometimes is posted outside, then the receptionist who is right inside the door, the nursing staff, and then the abortionists themselves. And I know, Reverend Rusty, you have examples of people have come out while you're out there preaching the word of the Lord, have come forth and converted on the streets and said, I can't do this anymore. I can't work here anymore. And this is not about, that they're stopped killing more children, but it's about the saving of their very soul that happens on the streets.
And I can tell you, we have so many testimonies of those that have worked in the abortion industry. You know, that the media would come and interview them, and they would say the most disparaging remarks about us, just crucify us in the press, put us in the worst possible light. And they would do that publicly, but privately, in their heart of hearts. Do you know what they told me, Father Frank? Every time you were out there, you gave me hope. You gave me hope.
Hope.
Now, that's what they were thinking on the inside. Now, they were saying something with their mouth publicly, but privately, they knew that our very presence, the church, the Christian out there representing our Lord, his heart, his message to a dying world, you know, that there's life. The last answer is not death. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I was just in Iowa, and I knocked on the Planned Parenthood door. Yes, and I walked in, and that's the message I delivered to them.
Delivered a message of repentance.
That God is not willing that any should perish. He don't want these babies to die, and he doesn't want your soul to perish in your sin.
Yeah.
You know, repent, come to the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ.
That's right. I bet they weren't counting on receiving a visit from you that day.
No, they weren't. But you know what? God gave me a platform.
Yes.
And they were listening.
They were.
You know, and you know what? You plant the seed, you water it, you know.
I mean, that's the whole thing. You plant, you sow and seed.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're not responsible for outcome, but we are responsible to deliver God's mail, to bring his message.
Now, going to the abortion clinics themselves is not the only way that theology becomes biography in the streets. We're doing this in a lot of different ways. Give us some examples, for example, the overpass ministries.
Listen, it's not where you're on the wall. It's are you on the wall? You know, this is an exposed area. There's all kinds of involvement you can have to stand for life, for the Lord, for righteousness.
Yes.
You know, there's the mercy ministries, there's the, you know, the pregnancy centers. I mean, there's political involvement. Yeah. But when we're dealing with ministry on the streets, my gosh, there's so much that you could do. We have that, you know, that ministry overpass.
Yeah. Explain about that.
Well, it's really... When we went to the larger cities, we created different signs that would really kind of get their attention.
Yeah.
And you're talking about reaching seriously, like in one day, tens of thousands of people, you know, with this truth. And so we came up with this, you know, one sign after another. It'd be like, you know,
and this is literally on a busy throughway,
highway
that one has overpass and then maybe you go a half a mile and then, or quarter mile, and then there's another overpass and another.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what's the message on the first overpass?
The first one would be like, what kind of nation?
Okay, right, now so the car drives.
This big sign, it just says, what kind of nation?
Okay. What kind of nation? Question mark.
And now you drive a little further. And the next one says?
What kind of city?
Okay, and then we drive a little further, and the next overpass says?
What kind of church?
And we drive a little bit more, and the next overpass says?
What kind of man?
And then
by this time, the driver is saying,
this is something. What's the punchline? And the final overpass says?
Is the pictures of the aborted babies. that would allow this.
That would allow this. That's powerful.
Now, and of course, and you got to understand, you can't spin that. You cannot spin the evidence of abortion.
You could spin
the word. You could spin the politics of it, the social ramifications of it. But you cannot spin the reality of that broken body, of that baby.
That's why on every one of these programs, we show the images of these babies.
Because
talk about a no-spin zone. That's the no-spin zone, because there is no way around that.
And you know, Reverend Rusty, now your ministry has done this in a number of big cities all over the country, and we know for a fact when your ministry has finished their project in that city and moved on to, you hear about conversion. You hear stories
of
people who...
It's not just conversion. This is what we have to understand. This relates back to the pastors. We have to understand, once the Church of Jesus Christ comes out of the four walls and goes to these altars of Molech, and that's what they are. Mm-hmm. These are the modern-day altars of Molech, the altars of Baal. This is a demonic manifestation, okay? When the Church shows up and we expose this hidden works of darkness and shine the light of truth on these atrocities... See, the Bible says that there's a spiritual warfare going on here. There's war in the heavenlies. And once the Church exercises her authority that Christ has given to her, well, guess what? That battle is raging in the heavenlies. Yeah. But here's the deal. While we're there, guess what? That stronghold is being captured. That stronghold is coming down. Now, we may not see it the first week after we leave. We may not see it after a month. We may not see it after 2 months. But I can guarantee you, you could retrace our steps. The number of abortion mills that we have been at, where we declared the truth of Jesus Christ, lifted up his name, sang his praises, prayed, and confronted this evil. Where are those abortion mills today? They are history. They are done. They are no longer there because Christ is victorious.
Yes. Well, praise God, and thank you for sharing all of that. Brothers and sisters, we've only scratched the surface here. And if you go to gospellife.com, you'll see explanations of multiple ways that you, in your own town or community, can go out, whether there's an abortion mill in your town or not. You can go out, you can reach others, you can do spiritual battle, you can bring the power of the Word of Life out there onto the streets. Well, we thank you for watching our program, and after this break, we're going to be back with our action segment to give you even more ideas of practical, concrete things you can do to build the culture of life. So stay with us, and let's resolve that we will bring this message out onto the streets, which is exactly where God's people are called to go. Stay with us.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving Word of Life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet Pro-Life Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Friends, welcome to our action segment. We need your help to dominate the abortion industry's false ideas that abortion is good for women. And the way to do that is to help us reach as many people as possible who have had abortions and are willing to either seek the healing that they so deserve or even speak out about their abortion experience. Janet, of course, heads up the Silent No More Awareness campaign together with Georgette Fournay of Anglicans for Life. And Janet, this is really a very simple but powerful way that our viewers can help the movement. There are so many women out there who've had abortions, and by registering with the Silent No More Awareness campaign, they are first of all benefiting themselves, right?
Right.
We connect them with the various healing.
One of the on our website, silentnomoreawareness.org, one of the largest listings of all the abortion recovery programs that are out there.
Yes.
But what we need to do is hear from the women and the men as numbers. So, for example, from the women and men that already speak out and go to events and speak on behalf of the campaign, that's a small number, all right? But right now we have close to 3,000 men and women who have signed up to say they regret her abortion. So, for example, if one of our women is giving a talk in church, they can stand up now and say, well, I'm just one of a few thousand women and men who have come forward to say they regret their abortion. Well, that's an okay number. But when you put that in contrast to the fact that there's been 50 million children lost to abortion since 73, that doesn't sound so great, you know, to the media and the secular media in particular. So what we're asking Christians to do is if you are a man or a woman who've experienced abortion and you regret that decision, take the first step by sending us an email saying, yes, amen, I agree with you. I had an abortion, or I took my girlfriend for an abortion, and yes, I regret that deeply. Just send us an email.
We don't publicize their names. This is completely confidential.
Not.
It's that, again, let's explain to people the value of having the numbers. The pro-abortion people claim that abortion does not impact women in a negative way. They say, oh, there's plenty of people out there, they've had abortions, and they don't regret it.
That's right.
We know the damage it causes them. We know that there are so many suffering silently. We know that there are so many out there who would love to make their voices known to say, yeah, we're out here and we're suffering, and we want the world to know that. We don't necessarily want the world to know who I am individually, but by signing up with the campaign, we're able to say there's tens, there's hundreds of thousands that we know. That's the point.
Regret
we know
decision.
They're in touch with us, yes.
So, like, for example, they just go to our website, silentnomoreawareness.org, and just send us an email. It's a simple little form they fill out, and they identify themselves and give us their email. Now, what's going to happen? We'll have that information, but like you said, Father, it's kept confidential. Mm-hmm. We will send them an email, a monthly email, where they can get information about what the campaign is doing, opportunities to be silent no more. If in that initial email they ask for some healing resources, then we will, again, have someone point them in the right direction, and that's all it has to be from there. If they don't want to take any further steps, it's okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Just that they can be counted among the men and women who say they regret their abortion. However, after they receive our emails for a few months and they go through healing and they say, God's calling me to take another step, they could just ask us and we can put them in touch with where is there going to be a gathering or an event where they could just come in prayer support. They don't even have to hold a sign yet. Just come in prayer support with the other men and women. You should see what happens, Father, at events where the men and women who have experienced abortion and regret it come together. It's such an additional healing experience to be with like-minded people. So I implore everyone to please get in touch with us because we need the numbers to show and reach out to more people that healing's available.
Thanks, Janet. Pastors, please publicize it in your churches. Friends, publicize it to your email list on your website. Have a link to silentnomoreawareness.org. Mention it in your newsletters. Help us get the word out. We look forward to seeing you again next week. Spread the word about our program. Thank you for watching.
You are looking at the face of an unborn child, 25 and a half weeks into pregnancy. This child can be legally killed by abortion in America. As this ad from the Yellow Pages proves, some abortion clinics sell abortions up to 28 weeks. Abortion kills living children whose hearts are beating and whose bodily organs are all in place. Abortion. Haven't we gone too far?
There is a crisis in America. A Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. Father Frank A. Pavone, director of Gospel of Life Ministries, is an internationally known pro-life activist, speaker, and author. He has been the national director of Priests for Life since 1993 and appears regularly in the religious and secular media. He has served at the Vatican's Pontifical Council for the Family. He has been a spiritual guide for Norma McCorvey, the former Jane Roe of the Supreme Court's abortion decision, Roe v. Wade. Father Frank is president of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, an umbrella group of many denominations working to end abortion. Father Frank is also the national pastoral director and board chairman of Rachel's Vineyard, the world's largest ministry of healing after abortion. Father Frank is a Catholic priest of the Diocese of Amarillo, Texas, and carries out his pro-life mission with the permission of his bishop. For more information on Father Frank and Priests for Life, visit www.priestsforlife.org. Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.